Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. Everywhere we turn today, you see a traffic accident while you were gone. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You didn't see one traffic accident. That's awesome. That's some dangerous roads over there. But whether on the highway, we're going to see blood. Or if we're in war, you're going to see blood. If you work in a hospital, there's a pretty good chance you're going to see blood. We understand that the Red Cross, the cross for the Red Cross, actually symbolizes blood as well. Christianity has been called a bloody religion, one of the bloodiest, indeed. The Bible speaks often about blood. And I want to answer a few questions here today about the blood and what it means and how you cannot get to heaven and have your sins forgiven unless the blood that was shed on that cross for each and every one of you. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. The Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." That word atonement, it's used 80 times in the Old Testament, 101 times in the New Testament. The word atonement, at one meant, bringing God and man together, making an atonement, taking place of the death and the suffering and the hell that we all deserve upon that cross. The average person contains about 5 quarts of blood. It circulates, depending on who you ask, about 20 or 25 seconds. And every cell in the body is constantly supplied with, as being cleansed and supplied with oxygen at the same time. So it's kind of like take the garbage out and bring oxygen to where it needs to go. I said this earlier that my feeble little hillbilly non-educated brain, I don't really understand blood. I can read about it and I could comprehend it a little bit, but I can't grasp the concept of it. It's just a mysterious substance. It composes the real life of a body, a circulation that just, I don't know, I don't get it. Well, the Bible teaches that all of us, whatever the color of your skin is, whatever your background, we're all related by blood to one person, Adam. We're all made of the same blood. When you work in blood bank, or if you ever donated blood, you got a whole refrigerator full of blood. You can't look at that blood and say, that's black blood, that's white blood, that's Indian blood, that's this. It's just blood. We don't know the color of skin of Adam. We're not told whether he was black or white, yellow, brown. We just don't know. We know one thing for sure that I can almost 99.9% guarantee. Jesus was not white, and he was not black. He was the color of skin of people from that area. He was from a section of the planet that actually divided 3 continents. So whatever they were at that time, that's pretty much what he was. Most likely brown-skinned. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 17:26, "He hath made of one blood all the nations of men that dwell on the face of the earth." We're made of one blood. We're all related. I think it's semi-comical. Science now says that we all came from one person. We all came from one area. Science did. Isn't that funny? It says it right here. First chapter. This book, we could figure it out very quickly. But it took them like 6,000 years to figure out where we all came from. Hilarious. It's all right. But when this blood that we all got from the same father, Adam, there's a disease. It's a fatal disease. And the sentence is death. The moment you were born, you're sentenced to die. Because you have death in your bloodstream. A fatal disease that the blood has labeled sin. Sorry, the Bible has labeled sin. Romans 5:12 says, "Whether by as one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." God told Adam and Eve in that day, don't eat of that fruit of that tree. If you eat of this fruit of this tree, you're going to die. God gave man a gift. That gift was freedom of choice. they did wrongful with their freedom and choice. They broke the one rule that they had. They broke it. They rebelled against God and tried to do their own thing. So now we're all going to die physically. We're all going to die spiritually. And we're all going to die eternally. This man was tempted. He yielded to the temptation and he sinned. And by one man, sin, our father, Adam, that death passed us in our bloodstream. So today, you and I, and whoever's here, we're under a sentence of death. Humans suffer from blood poisoning. And this poison is so powerful that it went generations, thousands of years and thousands of years, and just kept going through. There's only one cure. Adam was human by birth, and his poison was transmitted through us, through our blood, from him. And the penalty of having this disease is death. Just about every person in here who can hear my voice, within 100 years, we're probably not going to be here. Pretty good bet, 100 years from now, we're not going to be here. 50 years from now, we're probably not going to be here. 10 years from now, what's the face of this congregation going to look like? And I think in Hume, I've been here 5 years. The people that I've known in 5 years that have passed away in just 5 years. Or just realistically, last month, the people that's passed away. Now, where does the blood come from? Where does the blood come in? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There has to be an atonement. There has to be a substitute for you. There has to be. The substitute came of the Son of the living God, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Even in the beginning, God was teaching man that he could only come to him in the way of blood. Adam and Eve sinned. They were naked in the garden. God provided clothes for them by sacrificing an animal of blood to give them coats of skins to wear. The first murder was committed by Cain, Adam and Eve's son. I always laugh when someone says, oh, there's the sin and blah, 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 I don't believe that. Well, the first time a human made another human, that human killed its brother. He killed Abel because he was jealous of God accepted his blood sacrifice and not his sacrifice of gathering fruits and vegetables. God refused his sacrifice and accepted Abel's, and then Cain became jealous and slew his brother. Fast forward a little bit, Noah. Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered a burnt offering as an altar, blood sacrifice. Abraham, God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son that you love up to Mount Moriah. You're going to atoning sin of sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice your son to me. He obeyed. He took him up to Mount Moriah. He took out the knife, and God sent an angel and stopped him and said, stop. We have a lamb in a thicket. We have a ram in a thicket. Sacrifice him. Now I understand that you'll do whatever you're told. Get him. He sacrificed. But I want to ask you something today, and I got a pretty good feeling I know the answer. Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in God so much that you'll do what Abraham did? I always got to put a disclaimer. God's not going to tell you to kill your kids. Not going to happen. In Egypt, we're fast forwarding a few years now. Exodus 12:13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God's going to destroy the firstborn of every family in Egypt unless they have a lamb's blood over top of their entrance into their house, a blood sacrifice to perfect them so the angel of death can pass over them. The judgment came on Egypt because Pharaoh refused to let his people go. But the blood was going to be a sign. And the firstborns who had the blood did not perish. They were passed over. He didn't say, Give me a list of your religious credentials on your doorway. Put a list of how much money you put on the offering plate. He didn't say that put at the end of the door. Let me know a list of your good deeds so I can look at them and review them. He said, no, I want a blood sacrifice so I can pass over you. So your sins can be washed away the blood of the Lamb. In my Bible studies I go to, huge rant if I head in that direction. Let me be careful. There were some retired preachers there at this Bible study. And these guys are, I'm saying, older than definitely older than you. Definitely. But when they start talking, they were like, oh, let me tell you what's going on. And I'm like, we're just in a little room here talking. And they were echoing. It was just a joy to be around them. It was amazing. But we all agree, churches don't like this kind of preaching anymore. We don't want to talk about blood. We don't talk about sin. We don't want to talk about sacrifice. But without the shedding of blood on the cross, there is no forgiveness of sin. You can't be forgiven without the shedding of the blood. We take communion, and the heart of the worship of the communion is about blood. Whether you're non-denominational, a Baptist, or a Methodist, when your lips hit that cup, you understand that that's a symbolic of Christ's blood that was shed for you. John the Baptist said, look, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cried, behold, the Lamb of God, that come to take away the sin of the world. He called Jesus the Lamb of God. We've already discussed what they did to lambs back then for sin. You're done. Jesus sent the Lamb of God himself to offer up for the whole human race. And because that Lamb shed his blood on the cross, we can have eternal life. We can be forgiven. We can have our sins forgiven. We saw Jesus weeping in the garden. We saw him shed his blood on that cross in the Bible. Jesus predicted himself quite a few different times. Most time people didn't believe him. He said, I'm being offered up as a sin sacrifice. Nobody believed him. They actually dismissed it immediately. Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up. The death of Christ is mentioned over 200 times in the Old Testament. I mean, the New Testament. Think about it. That's how important that event was. It's the very heart of the gospel. One half of the gospel of John and one fourth of all the other gospels is around the events surrounding Christ's death. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important single event in human history. Even non-believers don't realize it. It changed the world. It changed how we share time. How we even track time was changed at the death of Jesus Christ. And that's worldwide. Nothing else can compare to it. If the blood of Jesus doesn't forgive your sin and cleanses and for his atonement, and if he didn't rise from the dead, this would be a miserable world. It already is pretty miserable right now. I believe we are heading towards Armageddon, and it's going to destroy the human race for the ones that are here. But Christ did die. He did rise from the grave. He is coming again. And there is hope. You know, people today, they want to cling to something. I want to go do this, or I want to go do that. I want to cling to this, and they follow this group, or they want to follow that group. You know, I'm thinking politics. They're going to follow these idiots or these idiots. They need to follow Christ and make proper decisions about what's going on. Then they'll understand. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, so much as silver and gold, for our vain conversations, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish." This perfect sacrifice, Jesus, for all our sins. It's almost not fair. All we got to do is accept it. Accept it while you breathe, because after you're not breathing, it's too late. Not with silver and gold. Your good deeds ain't going to get you there. You can do all the works for the rest of your life, and it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Nothing but the blood. We are saved by grace through faith. And in Romans it says, that way nobody can brag about themselves. Oh, I did this, I did that. No, we did nothing. The best we can be is filthy rags. When you get to heaven, God's not going to ask me, why are you here? What makes you think you can enter this kingdom? Am I going to say, I went to Bible school. I taught a Bible study. I did good deeds. I was an usher for 50 years. None of that matters. If we're not covered by the blood of Christ, nothing matters but that. And my partner says it like this, I'm going to simply cling to the cross. Cling to the blood that was shed for us. The Bible says, without Christ, we are slaves of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is a slave of sin. Some of us are still slaves to sin. When we reject Christ, we become a slave to sin. Anybody know who John Newton is? John Newton was a slave trader in the west coast of Africa. He was a slave to sin himself, slave to money. He's buying and selling people, bringing them across the ocean as slaves. And then he had what my father would call a come to Jesus moment. God got a hold of him, and he realized what he was doing was wrong. He became the biggest sponsor of getting rid of slavery. The most open person in England at that time who paved the way to abolish slavery in that country, which led to us getting rid of slavery. He turned his ways and actually became a clergyman and influenced others. But he wrote this song. This beautiful song, when I say it, you're all going to laugh because you're going to know who he is. This beautiful song called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Not just him. I don't know how many years it was he wrote that, pre-slavery days, but it still relates to this day. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. You can be free in Christ. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Christ can free you and give you a free spirit. In our children's time this morning, we were talking about, don't let stuff spattle your joy. Don't let something hold your joy down. And with Christ, you can be joyful even in hard times. It doesn't matter what's going on badward, because we know our focus is on Christ. We're only redeemed because of him. We're not just saved, we're justified. We're not just forgiven, we're justified. I can forgive you if you've wronged me, and you can forgive me if I wrong you. But Christ justifies us as though it never happened. Don't think I'm saying anything wrong, because you're going to respond to everything you've ever done as a Christian. You're going to give account for what you were given, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Your sins are forgiven, each and every one of us. Jesus will erase the sins of our lives. And the Bible says the blood of Christ brings us peace. And having made peace through the blood of the cross is between peace between us and God. It's that atoning sacrifice to get us back in the proper relationship with God that we're supposed to have had at the beginning of time. Because we have peace with God, brought on by what his Son did in Jesus Christ, we're able to spread joy to the whole world because of that. Has your sins been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you had your come to Jesus moment? Have you had your moment at the cross? The Bible says the blood reconciles. It reconciles our iniquities that have separated us from God. The scripture says they have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We all understand what a blood bank is, more or less. There's a building somewhere that's got blood in it. If you work in a hospital, you understand they're going to come and get some blood to go do this. Jesus Christ is our blood bank. He's the one that can cleanse our blood from that sin that we were born with. only through Jesus for what he did for us. There's two things you need for a heart transplant, for an organ transplant. You need a heart. So I'm going to give you my heart if I'm an organ donor. I am, by the way, an organ donor. So I'm going to give my heart to somebody who needs it. And then they have to accept it. If you know anything about organ donation, I can give you an organ, and it could be a perfect match on paper. But the body could reject it. If you don't accept Christ while you're alive, you've rejected him. 100% you've rejected him. There's no yes or no or maybe. Yes or no. It's yes. And if it's no answer, it's no. If we all die right now and you haven't accepted Christ, you've made your answer if it was no. If it was not yes, it's a no. So we have to accept Christ today while we can. The first thing you do is you got to repent of your sins. It's so almost comical to me explaining Christianity to people that are non-believers because they say, I know you back when you were 30 or 25 years old. How could you be possibly saying anything about Christianity to this day? Horrible sinner. That's the past. That's my past. That's not my future. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We accept Christ. We're not perfect immediately. You can accept Christ right now today. You're not going to be perfect just like that. It's not going to happen. It's like starting a marathon. Just because you started the marathon doesn't mean you finished. You still got to run. You got the free t-shirt, but you still got to finish the race. So do it today while you can. Because tomorrow, trust me, in my business, tomorrow is not promised. Can you stand up for a second? Let's just bow our heads for a second. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, don't let anybody leave here today without accepting Christ. We understand tomorrow is not the answer. Father, let everybody leave up out of here and let them see your Son, the salt and the light oozing out of them. Let them affect everybody who they come in contact with. Let them affect that one person they've been wanting to talk to. And Father, before we give you praise, I want to give everyone peace. Peace of the blood of Christ, Father. And I say all this in his name. Amen.